report. It is Omron Holding Group, Inc. versus U.S. Ms. Santora, I've now lost my cheat sheet in terms of how much time you wanted for rebuttal. What was it?
5 minutes, Your Honor.
Okay. You may begin.
May it please the court. We asked the court today under Sinovo Standard of Review, which is the applicable standard, to determine that the government did not meet its burden to obtain summary judgment before the trial court. And the reason for this, Your Honor, is that...
Can I... This is a procedural point.
Yes.
As I read your opposition to the government's summary judgment motion, it never said there is a triable issue of fact and we want a trial. It was rather the government is wrong in seeking summary judgment. We're right in seeking summary judgment, full stop. So, I mean, is there essentially, on the state of this record, a who's right as a matter of law question in front of us?
Your Honor, we would say that the main contentions are ones of law. That being said, we understand there are dueling motions, but we wouldn't ask this court, given the evidentiary standard before it, to say that we are absolutely right and the government is absolutely wrong. We would say that there are enough gaps and ambiguities in this record to require further evidentiary proceedings before the trial court.
Now, as I understand it, if government contractors have to, if they allege an ambiguity in the contract, they have to argue that the ambiguity is either patent or latent, right?
Correct, Your Honor.
So is your position that it's a latent ambiguity?
Yes, that's correct.
Right, and that would mean, as I understand it, that you would have to establish not only that there's a reasonable interpretation that's different than the government's, and that's what you spend a lot of time on, mm-hmm. but you'd also have to establish that you relied upon that ambiguity in terms of preparing and submitting your bid and entering into the contract. Isn't that right?
Yes, that's correct, Your Honor.
All right. So did you present any such reliance evidence?
Your Honor, our contention would have been, and I believe this is in the briefs, that Omron would have relied on a rate that was publicly available. Initially, Omron had believed that that was the Bank of Afghanistan rate that you see in the initial pleadings, the initial claim that we relied on for our appeal. That developed and changed as a result of receiving the contracting officer's decision saying, no, the Treasury sets the rates. And therefore, you should look to the Treasury for this.
Doesn't that kill your reliance argument, though, if you were relying on a mistake of fact? So you weren't relying on the fact that it was the Treasury rate. You were relying on the fact that it was some other rate that you now admit couldn't have been right.
I don't believe that's exactly correct, Your Honor. We were relying on a prevailing rate, a known rate, a publicly available rate. At the time, again, we believe that was the Bank of Afghanistan rate. But irrespective, if it was a market-based rate, that's what we reasonably assumed when we entered into the contract. And that could be, again, the Bank of Afghanistan, the Treasury rate, and those rates aren't materially different in what they would have offered. What is materially different is the undisclosed ITS.gov rate that the government contends was the properly applied, quote-unquote, official rate for purposes of this clause.
Whatever rate you relied on, was it to your detriment?
Yes, Your Honor. Under either the Bank of Afghanistan rate or the Treasury rate, which are both, you know, different iterations of the prevailing rate, the difference between, and these are three contracts, I should add, that are at issue in this appeal, the difference would have been about $1.5 million. Slightly less under the Bank of Afghanistan rate, but still in the same ballpark.
Did you present any evidence in the record that there could be any other possible rate other than the 3%, 5%, and the Treasury rate?
We believe, Your Honor, that the government has admitted as much. They introduced into the record a declaration of Mr. Walker Wood, actually two declarations of Mr. Walker Wood, who works for ITS.gov. And what Mr. Wood testified to through his declaration is that ITS.gov offers multiple rates to the government and doesn't advocate for any particular one or ones. And that option is essentially one to the government to tell ITS.gov.
But did his testimony say that there were multiple rates or that as between the 5% and the 3% there was flexibility?
It said multiple rates, Your Honor. We can look at the declaration if that would be helpful. And I'm at appendix page 157 and paragraph 6 of this declaration. ITS.gov provides multiple rate options, including spot or advanced rates capabilities for federal agencies to use foreign payment processing. Federal agencies are free to choose what rate option they will use, and that selection is configured by ITS.gov. And then moving on, ITS.gov does not approve, deny, or otherwise mandate a participating federal agency's use of an ITS.gov established rate structure. So while the court certainly seemed to come to the conclusion that it was either the 5-day rate or the 3-day rate, that certainly is left open and ambiguous in the record that
which
this court
would have
has.
Been most favorable to your client, the 3-day or the 5-day?
The 5-day. That was, no, excuse me, the 3-day that was actually applied was more favorable by...
More favorable overall, but weren't there a couple instances in which the 3-day was less favorable than the 5-day?
There were two individual payments that would have been more favorable under the 5-day rate.
And what would have been the value difference as to those two individual payments?
Nominal, Your Honor.
Okay. One of my problems is that the language of the contract, whatever it means, does talk about the DOD finance office, local DOD finance office. And how do you equate the Treasury with the Department of Defense?
We wouldn't, Your Honor. I believe what our argument was before the trial court is that there is no posted rate promulgated by the DOD local finance office, irrespective of how you define local DOD finance office. As Your Honor is aware, there was kind of this issue where the government posited that at three different occasions that location changed. First it was Apache, then it was the 368th Battalion at Bagram, and then the 159th again at Bagram. None of these locations are where Omar was actually performing contract work. And given the contracting officer's statement that the local office is Millington, Tennessee, they would have no reason to even search out these alternative locations.
Did you ever ask the contracting officer to explain that term, to explain what rate was applicable?
In our claim, Your Honor, in the initial claim, we had posited that there was no correct rate applied. And in response to that, the contracting officer said there is no local DOD finance office in Afghanistan, in the entirety of Afghanistan. Both parties now agree that that is incorrect and logically wouldn't be a correct interpretation of the contract clause.
At what point in time did they start posting these things at Agram Air Force Base?
The government affidavits indicate that according to the person who declared it was replacing, this was ongoing for the entire contract period. I'm not sure we have an affidavit that covers the very early on contract payments from a person with firsthand knowledge. However, they've given us one sample of how they posit they posted or fix these rates to the bank teller.
Is there evidence, what I'm trying to figure out is the point in time, is there evidence that anything at Bagram was posted before you started down the road of having a claim dispute over this issue?
There is a declaration from one of the individuals at either Bagram, I believe Bagram, maybe also Apache, that says that it was their standard operating procedure to affix a piece of paper to the outside of a bank teller window at the base essentially for military banking transactions. So if, you know, someone who comes onto the base for a financial transaction who has access to the base, they would see the rate at the time it was being applied, which logically makes sense, Your Honor.
But they didn't say when that standard operating procedure started?
I believe, in fairness to the government, they posit that it was the entire contract period. That's declared. We don't have an evidence every single quote-unquote posting that the government posits were under this clause. We have a sample of one.
Do you accept the proposition that bank teller at an Air Force base in Afghanistan is the equivalent of the local DOD finance office?
Your Honor, it's ambiguous. The clause doesn't define what constitutes a local finance office, and we would suggest that having a location somewhere in the country that the contractor isn't informed of and can't access would not satisfy the purpose of that posting requirement in the clause, in the contract clause.
What are you upset about, the rate that you received or the fact that this ambiguity existed?
I would say both, Your Honor. I would say that Omron is most aggrieved by the fact that it doesn't...
I mean, would you be here if you had received an unfavorable rate and the ambiguity existed?
Obviously, if we believe that the prevailing rate was in line with what was paid, we wouldn't be here today. I think what Omron is truly aggrieved
at... At the time of the bid, you submitted your bid, you didn't know that. You didn't know what rate was going to apply, correct?
That's an interesting question, Your Honor, because the CENTCOM clause that's at issue in this case says that when a contract is awarded to a host nation vendor, such as Omron, it should be awarded in the local currency. In this case, it appears that an error occurred at the onset, resulting in the contract being awarded in the U.S. dollars, potentially creating this whole issue that we're discussing today. It would seem logical that if it was correctly awarded in the host nation currency, Omron would submit progress agreements against that amount.
Do you argue you should have been paid in Afghanis?
I believe both parties are in agreement that we should have been paid in Afghanis. The question is that when Omron submitted for payment, it was requested to do so in dollars, and then it got converted to Afghanis.
And at that time, what rate were you suggesting that they use? Or did you believe it was going to be used?
Omron is in agreement that the rate would fluctuate across the contract period depending on when it submitted its request for payment. The question, again, is whether the rate that was used is in any way fair to Omron given their lack of notice and the fact that it differs from prevailing rate that could be known by any parties at the time.
So why did you give up on the local exchange rate argument in favor of this Treasury argument?
The understanding, Your Honor, was at the time that the contracting officer would be correct. We were understanding that they were telling us that the Treasury sets the rates, and therefore we looked for a posted rate by the Treasury. And having found one, we determined that we'd satisfied what the contracting officer was referencing. And of course, that rate, which we found, the quarterly Treasury rates, which are available on the Treasury's website, are in line with the Bank of Afghanistan rates, a little bit more favorable. So we adopted that as being in substantial compliance with the contracting officer was telling us would apply. And then comparing that to the payments we received, obviously there was a disconnect, which is where we kind of got this Treasury rate argument from. And then reading the government's cross motion, once we got to the trial court, it also seemed to fit squarely in line with what the FMR, the Financial Management Regulations for DOD, would suggest are proper. And we can kind of get into this issue of, I see I'm kind of running out of time already,
yeah.
This issue of whether the government purchases currency and therefore whether the acquisition rate would be the official rate that applies under Chapter 12. We would posit that it is, and we would also say as a factual matter, to answer Judge Toronto's question from before, one of the issues that we find contradicted in the factual record is Lieutenant McManus's affidavit, which clearly states that they do cash transactions in Afghani. Therefore, you can't do a cash transaction without having purchased Afghani currency. So having established that factual contradiction, or at least factual question that hasn't fully developed, we would say that Chapter 12 of the FMR specifies that the acquisition rate be the official rate. And when you look at the Treasury's website, once again, it states that the acquisition rate provided by disbursing officers is the quarterly rate, which kind of gets us back to the point where we thought we had reached the contracting officer's interpretation.
What do we know about the relationship between the dispersing officers and the DOD finance offices?
I believe Lieutenant McManus is a dispersing officer, so we have in the record some of that testimony. The dispersing officers appear to work directly at the local, what the government posits are the local DOD finance offices. Your Honor, I see I'm well into my time for rebuttal, so okay. I'll stop right there.
All right, we'll give you 2 minutes for rebuttal.
Thank you.
May it please the Court. The trial court's decision that Omron failed to establish that it is owed any damages should be upheld because undisputed evidence shows that the 3-day rate that Omron received is more favorable than the 5-day rate, which is the rate that applies pursuant to the contract clause at issue.
It's true that that wasn't true in every instance. They may be small amounts, but there were at least two instances in which the 5-day rate was actually more favorable than the 3-day rate.
To be clear, what I'm saying, Your Honor, is that over the 60 payments at issue between June 2013 and August 2015, 58 out of those 60 were more favorable. So that in the aggregate, all the payments at issue, Omron received more money.
Well, that's assuming, assuming we're aggregating. But more importantly, that's assuming we only have a choice between 3 and 5. And the whole point of this case is that there are alternatives, that 3 and 5 are not the only two options.
Yeah.
Unless we conclude that the contract is unambiguous.
Well, there are not more than two alternatives because the issue is, what is the rate required by the contract? And the contract is unambiguous that the rate that will be determined under the contract is the rate that is posted by the local DOD finance office for each payment in accordance
with
it.
Well, I'm having a hard time with this notion that it's unambiguous because the government was all over the place in terms of what the rate was. The contracting officer said one thing. You've had different positions between the 3% and 5%. I mean, how can you say it's completely unambiguous when you can't seem to land on a definition?
Well, we did land on a definition.
Well, when you finally got to the Court of Claims, you decided to land on a definition.
That's right. And there was no question that the contract.
But you had to land on that definition with the assumption that that definition was unambiguously required by the contract.
Well, absolutely. Look, there's no question that the contracting officer got it wrong, saying that there is no DOD finance office in Afghanistan, saying that's in Millington, Tennessee, which is where the Corps finance office is. That was wrong. Both parties agree it's wrong. It doesn't make sense when you read the plain text of the clause where local means Afghanistan or Afghani. So clearly we're talking about a DOD finance office in Afghanistan. The next question, Your Honor.
Is there actually an office that's titled DOD financing office, or is it simply a place where someone comes to a bank teller's office?
Right. Well, we have uncontroverted evidence, a declaration from Captain McManus that there are two Army, just DOD, Army finance offices in Afghanistan. There's no contrary evidence that there are any other finance offices in DOD finance offices in Afghanistan other than the two that are identified in a declaration by Joseph McManus, First Lieutenant McManus. That's uncontroverted. Second, there's only one DOD, that is say Army Finance Office, that has posted an exchange rate. And it's because there's only one finance office that has posted, during the entire payment period from June 2013 to August 2015, there's a single DOD finance office that has posted the 5-day rate every week for the entire period in question. That makes it unambiguous, Your Honor, because there is no contrary evidence that there's any other DOD finance office out there that's posting a different rate. I would agree this would be a different case if you had a DOD finance office, two DOD finance offices, and one is posting a 3-day rate, one's posting a 5-day rate.
But your argument is that basically we created a set of facts that would satisfy the language in this contract. But we're supposed to look at the language on its face to determine if it's unambiguous.
No, Your Honor, I would disagree with your characterization that we created. We didn't create facts. We procured testimony under oath, which, again, the plaintiffs in their motion for summary judgment did not attach a single piece of evidence, no testimony. They didn't take a single piece of discovery controverting this. So this is undisputed. And so it's not that we created it. This is facts under oath that there's one DOD finance office, and that is it's a single rate, five-day rate, that's been posted the entire period. That's dispositive, and that's uncontroverted. And so for purposes of determining whether that's an ambiguity, yes, we concede that you cannot determine what rate, what the actual rate is, simply by reading the text of the class. So you have to understand what...
Right, okay. And you concede there's no publicly available rate. I mean, even the contracting officer didn't know about this rate.
Well, the contracting officer got it wrong. There's no question. But what I'm saying, Your Honor, however, is that even though the rate is not in the clause itself, it doesn't say the rate is X. It says the rate will be determined by the local DOD finance office, and we have produced uncontroverted evidence during the entire payment period as to what those rates were. For each payment period, there is no issue of fact, as the trial court correctly held, that is the rate that applies for each of the payments at issue, Your Honor.
So it's maybe even the central theme, but an important theme of the other side's position is that there is something extremely strange, that's not a legal term, but extremely strange about saying the rate is one that we can't know, only the other side can know.
Well, look, it's not the rate that they can't know. I disagree with the premise of the rate they can't know. One, they argue at oral argument below in trial court, the blue is missing Torres said, oh, we had no access. The Omron had no access. It was unauthorized. That's not in the record. One, factually, there is no affidavit from anybody from Omron saying we can't access it. So that's not something that's before the court. There's no judicial weight that should be afforded to those statements. But first,
you're the one who asked for summary judgment. You didn't put any evidence in that they could access it, right?
Well, we both went for summary judgment. And yes, and so the prior question, regardless of whether or not they had notice or not, the first question is whether or not the contract requires that they have that notice, and the contract doesn't.
They have no access to it. Well, B, they asked the contracting officer, and the contracting officer had no access to it and didn't even know it existed.
Well, first, this is an issue of contract administration. There's no question that when Omron, and there's no evidence that Omron asked before they filed a certified claim what the rate was. So, yes, on a particular day, they asked the contracting officer during the certified claim where's the DOD finance office, and the contracting officer got it wrong. But the point, Your Honor, is it a contractual requirement that they have notice as to what the rate is? And the answer is no. The rate is determined. Your Honor, please.
I tried to ask you a question that was common sense or factual. I know your position is we don't care under this contract on this record whether they couldn't have access or not.
Okay.
Tell me why, give me an intuition about why that's not very strange.
Okay. Well, first, the only issue really that there is, the legal issues I think are on our side, the issue is a matter of how could we know what the rate is? It seems unfair that we have to pay a rate and we don't know what it is. And as a matter of contract administration, you have a client who has a relationship with a contracting officer or a contracting officer's representative, and it is the contracting officer's representative to say, as we had here, we have a picture of what the rates are. If for some reason you can't access the base or you can't access the personnel in the base, let me send you evidence of what that rate is. That should have happened in this case, no question, Your Honor. So the contracting officer, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, so there's some idea here that there's a relationship between the contractor and the contracting officer that can effectively supply information that they may not be able to get directly.
That if it's true that they can't access the base, they can access the contracting officer, who should be able to tell them that here, as we did in this case, here's a picture. If you want, we can tell you what the rates are. We can give you a picture of what's posted.
You didn't tell them until after a claim was made.
The contractor made a mistake. There's no question. They raised it in their certified claim. They didn't raise it during the payments at issue. They filed a certified claim, and the contracting officer at that time, not during the earlier administration of the contract, gave them incorrect information. That's correct. That's not dispositive here for the reasons I mentioned to Your Honor as to who should win, as to whether or not they have contract damages. I mean, it's really a case about contract damages. There's no question that the government's position is that the 5-day rate controls, the three, and there's no question they don't dispute, as you heard Ms. Santoro say, that the 3-day rate's more favorable. The rate they received is more favorable. So they weren't damaged. They benefited, not by much, but they benefited. The question that you're focused on is, well, where's the fairness if they don't know what the rate is? And putting aside what I said earlier as to there's no evidence they didn't know, but assuming they didn't know, they could have picked, theoretically, they could have picked up the phone.
Right,
yes,
so
Your Honor.
Let me ask the question this way. And they make this point that it's not, they don't exactly feature it, but I'm not sure that matters. You read this claim language and you say, huh, I wonder what that is. So your position ends up being, because you have McManus's declaration and nothing contrary, that there are these 3-day, 5-day rates and only one of them was posted and there's nothing else to consider. They make the point, if we're trying to figure out what the right meaning of this slightly odd term is, why don't we start with McManus saying, there's an actual exchange rate being, there must be dollars exchanged for Afghanis, and one of those rates is higher, right? I mean, don't they have some point that, and you distinguish it, and I think the CFC distinguish it as saying, that's not really this kind of exchange rate, that's about conversions.
Yeah.
Why shouldn't the conversion rate be a meaningful way of interpreting this statute?
Well, I agree. It is. I mean, that's the point, Your Honor, is that this case, as the trial court below correctly stated and found, is about currency conversion through the ITS.gov system, which is a way you convert dollars to Afghani. There's another mechanism.
I think I'm not asking the question right. And so you're going to help me. You understand this record. I don't have the details.
Sure.
They have some argument
yes.
about... And there was something in the CFC opinion about cash transactions or something, and wrong rate, wrong kind of thing. That's not about contracts. Can you address that?
Yes. Let me try to explain the context of that, okay? We'll start with Armand's argument. Armand's argument is that this contract is ambiguous.
Can you just answer the question?
I'm trying, Your Honor. I'm trying.
It's pretty straightforward.
Make sure I understand your question, because your question was that there was some discussion in the trial court about the difference between purchasing currency versus converting. And that's what I'm trying to get at.
I'm going to assume here that other rate is more favorable to them than either this 3 or 5 day thing.
Well, you don't have to assume that. They agree that the 3-day rate is more...
The CFC, they want that other rate. And the CFC said, no, wrong rate, can't possibly be.
I see what you're saying. They want the Treasury quarterly rate. If that's what I apologize if I didn't understand your question. You're asking about the Treasury quarterly rate and why that does not apply according to the government.
Well, what about the cash exchange rate?
Well, that's why I was, the cash exchange rate. That's why I was trying to answer, Your Honor, because I thought you were asking about their argument that there's a reference in Chapter 12 of the FMR, the Department of Defense Financial Management Regulation, concerning the purchase of securities and a reference to an official rate, and that official rate is not the 5-day rate conceded.
Right.
And what the trial court said, what we argued, the trial court agreed, and we have evidence to that effect, this case does not involve the purchase of currency. It involves the conversion of currency. These are two different transactions. This case involves conversion, so it means the core providing a dollar amount through ITS.gov, and then the Afghani amount that corresponds to that is then transferred to an Afghani bank for the benefit of Omron.
So and what is the default official rate under the regulations? You can argue that it doesn't apply to the contract, under the regulations, what
yes.
would be the acquisition rate that's defined in the regulations?
Acquisition rate under the regulations. That's a rate that would apply in the context of a purchase of securities. So where a dispersing officer has a limited depository account and purchases securities and then pays vendors through that. But as we've shown, however, The dispersing officer, Kevin Heath, has an affidavit saying there are only three currencies for which the Corps has done that, the won, the yen, the euro, not the Afghanistan. That's not what's going on here. You don't have purchase going on here. You have conversion through ITS.gov. The five-day rate that was posted during the entire payment period is the official rate per the contract, and Omron concedes that the rate they received is more favorable than the five-day rate, which is the contrary. Therefore, they have no damages. They, in fact, benefited from the fact that the Corps used a more favorable rate than was required by the contract. And so the distinction that the trial court addressed, Your Honor, Judge Toronto, that you're asking about between the purchase of securities and conversion, because they're relying upon a provision that talks about the acquisition rate, which is a rate applying to the purchase of securities. Again, there's uncontroverted evidence that there was no purchase of securities here. None of Omron's payments were made as a result of the purchase of securities from a limited depository account. It was made through conversions of dollar amounts through ITS.gov pursuant to the three-day rate, which is more favorable than the five-day rate.
So what we have is you enter into contracts and then you decide later what you're going to pay them? Because you can set the rate at whatever you want.
Oh, no, I don't say whatever you want, because it's set, the dollar amount, it's not hard and fast. It is. It's not hard and fast because by contract. I mean to talk over you, Your Honor.
There's flexibility. So in other words, you've got a contract. You enter into a contract that says we're going to pay you and we're going to pay you at an official rate. And then we're going to decide later whatever that official rate is.
Well, no, what the contract says is that the currency, this is the exact words of the contract. The contract says that the currency exchange rate will be determined at the official exchange rate that is posted by the local DOD finance offices for each payment in accordance with DOD regulations. So in the contract language itself, which is the contract clause at issue, the rate that will be determined is the rate that is posted by a local DOD. And we entered in evidence that for Afghanistan, in fact, for the Middle East, they're actually, the Army has chosen the five-day rate, and for the entire payment period, it had no option other than to use, to post the five-day rate. We're talking about DOD.
What do we make of the fact that contracts have now been changed to set a specific rate?
I'm sorry, what was the first part of your question?
What do you make of the fact that now that in your contracts you set a specific rate?
Oh, nothing.
Well, if it was so unambiguous.
No, it's nothing because
why did you bother to change the contract?
Well, not only the core.
Can you let me finish?
Oh, I apologize, Your Honor. I apologize.
You don't have to get angry because I'm asking a question.
Oh, I'm not angry at all, Your Honor. I'm sorry.
Right? So what do we make of the fact that if it was so incredibly unambiguous?
Yes.
The government now felt the need to change the contract to set a specific rate.
Well, Your Honor, it's not clear to me, and I apologize. I did not mean to talk over you, and I'm certainly not angry. The different language that they cited in their brief, like, oh, now there's a different clause out there, which does not have this language about local DOD posting. In fact, it's going to be a different rate. That's true. That change was made. There's no evidence in the record as to why that was made. But more importantly, Omron has conceded that that clause doesn't apply. It's not a clause that is incorporated into any of the three contracts at issue, and there's no inference, no reasonable inference can be made that that change was somehow made because there's some ambiguity with respect to what the local DOD finance office is, because there is no ambiguity with respect to what the local DOD finance office is based upon the fact that there's been only one Army finance office during this entire period that's posted a single five-day rate for all 60 payments at issue. So there is no ambiguity as to that. And because there's no ambiguity as to what rate applies under the contract, the five-day rate, and there's no disputed evidence as to the three-day rate that's more favorable to what they received, they are not entitled to any damages because the Corps decided to give them that more favorable rate.
Can I just see? I think I may at least be getting a little closer to understanding my own question before. About the acquisition rate?
Yes.
This is where I think at page appendix page 7, CFC opinion page 6.
Yes.
I think the CFC relies on Mr. Keith's, who's a core dispersing officer, testimony that acquisition rate, the one that is more favorable than either the five-day or three-day wouldn't apply to Afghanis at all, but not, I mean, Afghanis as a currency.
That's right.
But only the yuan, yen, and euro?
Yes, Your Honor.
Is that right?
That's okay. Right. Yeah, that's his testimony. Kevin, he's the dispersing officer of the Corps, saying we do purchase securities in certain limited circumstances with the yuan, the yen, and the euro, not the Afghanis. What we have here is conversion, which is a very different process. That's directly, there's no U.S. financial institution intermediary involved with a depository account that's purchased this currency. Instead, it's the Corps saying, okay, we have Omron's owed, say, $1 million. Please use the, well, in this instance, the three-day rate to convert that into Afghanis, and so that they're in a, that is transferred into Afghanis into Omron's bank account, the three-day rate.
Okay,
so that's what we have.
One last question.
Yes, Your Honor.
Is there anything in the regulations at all that discusses posting of rates?
I'm not aware of anything in the DOD financial regulations that specifically discuss the posting of rates. No, Your Honor, I'm not aware of that.
Okay, you're way over time.
I see that I'm way over time.
We'll restore your full 5 minutes so that we keep it fair.
I'd like to draw the court's attention to appendix page 108, and this is the first affidavit of Lieutenant McManus, and paragraph 4 states that the 159th FMSD serves as one of two currently existing Army finance offices located in Afghanistan. So in fact, Your Honor, the evidence suggests that there were two at one time. I'm not sure what the ever office was posting. That's not a fact in evidence, but it's certainly one that would be helpful to determining a fair and equitable result in this case. As the court just heard...
What equitable result are you looking for in this case?
Again, Your Honor, we believe that the prevailing rate...
The answer is $1.5 million, right?
Yes, the answer is $1.5 million.
When you signed on to the... When you submitted your bid... How did you know you were going to come out that $1.4 million was going to be paid to you? You agreed that you would get it at a specific rate. At that time, nobody knows what that rate's going to be.
Our central position, Your Honor, is that the rate should be based on something. It shouldn't just be this magical...
It was based on the three-day rate, which, in fact, you were entitled to the five-day rate, but you got the three-day rate, so you're ahead of the game, not behind. Where have you been harmed? I've read through your brief very carefully, and it seems to me that you brought an appeal based on principle. You want there to be an admission, that there's an ambiguity, that there was an error. That's been admitted to, that's been acknowledged. But when it comes down to it, there was a prevailing rate, a posted rate. That rate was a five-day rate. You got paid the three-day rate. You got paid more than what you should have. What's the appeal here?
No, thank you for that question, Your Honor. Our question in return would be the three-day rate is based on what? Is it a market-based rate? Is it based on the acquisition cost to the government? Is this money in, money out? And so far we've seen no evidence.
It's not a question. Your appeal is not a question whether something is publicly posted or not, or whether it's available to you or not. The problem you're having is how did they actually, what's a financial computation used in order to arrive at that rate? That's what you would like to be disclosed.
That's certainly a large portion of it, Your Honor. We know what the prevailing rate is, and it's more favorable to us. If the government is paying something else, then we would certainly like to know what that is. The quarterly rates are based on the acquisition rate, and they report something for Afghani, meaning they must acquire Afghani at some point. There's a cost.
This is not about acquisition. It's not about buying currencies. It's about converting currencies.
It's about fairness, Your Honor. If the government is receiving a certain rate to get Afghani and to pay us in that currency, and we're seeing something different, then that doesn't seem to be fair to the contractor in this position.
Are
especially
you saying that the contract should have actually said, we're going to pay you at a non-market rate?
No, Your Honor. I think the contract, if it was, you know, trying to be clear, would say what the current contract clause says, that the rate will be, and there's a blank space to post that rate, so that every party is on the same page about what's going to be applied during the pendency of the contract.
But you didn't inquire at the time of the bid, did you, as to what that, all that language about local DOD finance office meant?
No, Your Honor. Again, we would posit that as in a patent ambiguity, and we had no reason to question it until we received money that wasn't tied to anything we had notice of.
Now, reading your brief, I do understand well the argument that you're making, that there should be some fairness involved so all parties should know what the rate is. And that seems to me to be one of the principal arguments that you're making. That's almost what your appeal is about.
Correct.
That fairness. You're looking for fairness. Okay, this is a court of law. We look at controversies, and the Court of Federal Claims basically said that you have no damages here, because even at this point, you're not alleging damages that you should have gotten a certain rate, but you didn't. You're just saying it wasn't fair, however way they came about it. But the fact is that you did get a rate. That rate was a 3-day rate. The facts and the record show you should have gotten a 5-day rate. You got more than what you should have. Where's your appeal? Where's your damage?
Omron would say, Your Honor, it isn't a dichotomy between 3-day and 5-day. The question is, we have a prevailing rate that's more favorable. We were paid less. And why is that? Why are we restricting it to these three-day or 5-day rate?
You're saying more favorable even than the 3-day rate.
Correct, Your Honor. More favorable than 3-day rate.
What rate was that?
Pardon me, Your Honor?
Which was the most favorable rate?
The Treasury quarterly rates, Your Honor.
The acquisition rate?
The acquisition rate was
the
most favorable.
But this is not an acquisition matter. This is a conversion. When you submitted your bid, you agreed to be paid in Afghanis. That's a conversion matter.
And if the government incurs any cost for that conversion that relates to dollars and cents, we would love to see that, Your Honor. It isn't in evidence. We know that the 3-day rate is a number. You put in the dollars in ITS.gov, and it generates a separate number.
And that's your fairness argument.
And we don't know what's behind that black box. We have no idea.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. The cases will be submitted. We thank counsel. This court is adjourned.